Okay. So the Gemara here, the Kaf Vav Amud Beis at the bottom. Omer of Papi, Mishmei Rabbi Mishmei the Rav Mibei Knishta Levei Rabbonon Shari. You can switch a shul into a Beis Medrash. Mibei Rabbonon Levei Knishta Asur. But you can't take a shul and make it into a. But you can't take a Beit Knesset and make it into a shul. What did I say? Say it again. You can. It's mutter to take a shul and make it into a Beis Medrash, but you can't make a Beis Medrash into a shul. That's what I said. Check the tape. Mashma that Beis Medrash is a higher level than a Beis Knesset. For Rav Papa, Mishmei the Rava, Matni Ipcha. He says the opposite. So Amar Rav Acha, Kavate the Rav Papi. So Rav Acha brings a teaching that supports the view of Rav Papi. It's Rav Papi and Rav Papa. Rav Papi, that Beis Medrash is more Kedusha. The Amar Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, Beit HaKnesset Mutar La Soto Beit Medrash. Shmamino? A knockout. It's a pretty good support. Darash bar kapara maidichtiv. What's the source? Like, let's find a proof. Now, these sources that we're quoting, of course, are really asmachtaot. It's not like a proof positive. It's a kind of drasha and a pasuk. So here's this pasuk from Malachim Beis. Yisarif et Beit Hashem ve'et Beit HaMelech ve'et kol batei Yerushalayim ve'et kol bayit gadol saraf be'esh. So how do we learn out that pasuk? This is like this list of all of the things that are destroyed. Beit Hashem ze Beit HaMikdash. Beit HaMelech elu paltarin shel melech pshuto kamashmo. The king's palace is the king's palace. Vet kol batei Yerushalayim kemashmon. What does it mean, the batei Yerushalayim? It means people's houses. Vet kol beit gadol. Batei Yerushalayim means the houses, the people where people live. Vechol beit gadol saraf be'esh. So what does it mean, kol beit gadol? And it's each of the five items are obvious. Beit Hashem is Beis HaMikdash. Batei Yerushalayim is where people live, etc. But what does it mean, V'chol Beit Gadol? What got left out here? Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. It's a machlokas. Chad amar makom shemegadlin bo Torah. V'chad amar makom shemegadlin bo Tfilah. It's like an al tikre. Bayit Gadol means the place where something is made Gadol. So one says the houses that Torah is made Gadol, meaning a Beis Medrash. And the other says the place where prayer is made Gadol.
Can it just mean physically big?
Yeah, but in other words, that's, you're talking about the Pshat.
Right, but so that, not just because... Isn't there some sort of Indian that a shul is supposed to be like bigger or higher than other houses?
Yeah, but that's not a din in the posuk in Malachim Beis. Because in Malachim Beis, the Beis HaMikdash was bigger than everything else. So you didn't have to worry that the synagogues had to be bigger. That's a later din that the synagogue should have the makom kavod. This was always a problem in much of our history in the exile, because both the Christians and the Muslims often put restrictions on how big the synagogue should be. In other words, it should be that the synagogue, like Mishkan Tzipora, until they built it, there's another reason not to like the mall, because we will be overshadowed by... What?
Put a shul on top.
Big deal, but what about our shul? The fact that there's another shul doesn't help us in the fact that, right, but our shul should be, you know, like the, you ever see like a picture like on a bencher of Yerushalayim or something? It doesn't actually look like the actual geography, but you know, like a picture of Yerushalayim, like there's like, you see the walls, the chomot around, and then you see like a hill, and Beis HaMikdash is on the tippy top. And even the there's a brisa in the Gemara in where? In Ta'anit? I forget.
That, you can't look at me before you even quote the breaking.
That Yerushalayim is higher than all the other cities. Eretz Yisrael is higher than all the other Aratzot. I don't know what does that mean. It's higher than the higher what? Higher than? Are we talking geographically? The only way to understand the brisa is by like a level of kedusha. But from the pshat, it seems like it's talking geographically. That has a higher elevation. Right.
That's at the top of the globe, and everything else is lower.
So it depends on how you look. But as if you think it means like elevation above sea level, it's certainly not true. But Yerushalayim is higher than the other cities. The Har HaMoriah is higher than everything else, and Beit HaMikdash is the highest. Now this was obviously Chazal knew they could look across and they could see Har HaZeitim. They could see Harat Sofim, right?
Well, Yerushalayim, Harim Saviv.
Yeah.
It's a pasuk.
No, but Harim Sevivla might mean that there are surrounding hills that are lower than Har HaMoriah. Yeah. So the idea that the towns have the synagogues have to be higher than the rest of the town, you know, like your image of like a medieval walled city. You know, the palace is on the top, and then there's the houses of the rich, and then there's the houses of the peasants. What's that? There's a Dr. Seuss book that has a picture like this, right? Or Minas Tirith.
Yeah, I know.
I can go. All right. Let's count them. Everybody else is an Amharitz, but Benny's in. You know what Minas Tirith is?
Gondor.
I'm still trying to figure out the Dr. Seuss one. No, there's like three of them that come to mind.
Dr. Seuss is okay not to know, but totally.
The name of the machlok is, what is the Bayit Gadol? Is the Bayit Gadol the Makom of Torah or the Makom of Tefillah? So depending on how you interpret the Pasuk, so you're going to say that a synagogue has greater Kedusha or a Beit Midrash has greater Kedusha. Mandom or Torah, so that's according to Manda Omar Torah, the one who says the Torah is greater, Hashem Chafetz Laman Sidko Yagdil Torah V'Yadir. In other words, in the Pesukim Melachim Beis, Bayit Gadol can either mean it's a machlokas. One says Torah, one says Tefillah. So we need to find a Pesuk where the word Gadol is positioned to indicate. So there's a Pesuk, a well-known Pesuk, Laman Sidko Yagdil Torah V'Yadir. Torah is a Gadol, so then obviously Bayit Gadol means Beit Midrash. Beit Midrash is greater Kedusha. Umando Amar Tefillah Dichtiv Saprana Hagdulot Asher Asa Elisha. Right? The miracles that Elisha did. You know, he revives that dead kid, he does these other things. So what are the Gdulot, the great things that Elisha does? Elisha Da'avid Berachmehu Da'avid. How did Elisha do those miracles? Through prayer, through davening. So obviously prayer is Gadol. Okay, I mean, you know, it's just kind of asmachta. Tistaim de Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi Huda Amar, Makom Shemagadlin Bo Torah. So you should conclude that it's Torah, like Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. Dom Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, Beit HaKnesset Mutar La'asoto Beit HaMidrash Shema Mina. Right? That's the halacha. You can take a synagogue and turn it into a Beit Midrash. Our synagogues and
the
Beit Midrash
is one and the same.
Well, yes and no. We often have, like we have here, where you have a synagogue and you have a Beit Midrash. Like what makes something
but
a Beit?
But we dive in here. And yeah, we so sure I'm there.
So it's question like this room. This room like is Ikar Beit Midrash, but it's also, I don't know, how do you determine?
I think there are certain, but they pass it. They're like, I kind of remember once learning, you're not actually allowed to learn and make mesh. Like it's actually
but if there's a
and there's rules about Mrs. Zook, it's like real Beit Knesset,
they're not supposed to eat in the Beit Knesset, we can't eat a Beit Midrash.
Right. So our synagogues we always sanctify the synagogue al tnai. Otherwise we wouldn't be able to have a kiddush in the big hall. You wouldn't be able to do all types of other things in the big hall. But Chazal did have this idea that these are distinct structures, and they each had their own identity. And it's possible that there were Batei Midrash that you wouldn't daven in. Like you would leave the Beit Midrash to go to the synagogue to pray. The Gemara in Brochos talks about this idea that you kind of have to have like an idea that there's a reason you would daven in the Beis Medrash, because it might lead to Bittul Torah if you have to like leave. And therefore you should daven in the place Bein Amudei Beit HaMidrash. But that's almost kind of like you need a special heter to do that. Nowadays we don't have this distinction, but Chazal did have a much clearer distinction between a Beis Medrash and a Mila Havdil. It's like not that the culture of a Beis Medrash was ever like a library. I was just in America, and I went to YU, the alma mater, and I went into the library, a place that was very near and dear to my heart, and they did this huge shiputz. I think it was really in need of it, but they did this huge shiputz. They, first of all, they got rid of a lot of all the stacks, and they made this big open space. And the big open space has these work tables. It looks more like a work hub than a university library. And in this big open space in the middle, there are these tables, and people are sitting around in like chaburas, learning and talking and whatever it is. And when I was in the YU library, there was at least this, it was like halacha vein morin kein. It was a library. You were supposed to be quiet, but since everybody was shuttling between a Beis Medrash and a library, and the culture of a Beis Medrash, somebody that's not used to learning in a Beis Medrash, when I started learning a Beis Medrash, when I was basically a freshman in college, you know, never having any real serious experience in a Beis Medrash, I found it very disorienting. Because in high school, you learn to study. You study is always quiet. I remember, you know, adults saying, you can't have music on when you study. Right? It's distracting. I remember my sister and my mother always arguing about this. My sister always tried to say, no, I can study while the television is on. My mother tried to explain to her that that's not true. But certainly in a library, that doesn't go. A library is this, you know, kind of cloister.
My kids
said
that every day.
Yeah.
So we had the quiet library and the noisy.
Yeah. So in the YU library, you were meant to be quiet. You were also not allowed to eat, right? You can't remember. There was a sign that said, eat, drink, and be merry, but not in the library. But everybody would sneak food in. And everybody would sneak food in. There were all these kunsi. Right? And so now they've given up on this. Because they understand that the way people study today is different. And the library looks more like a Beis Medrash. And I was curious if...
Hebrew U Library certainly has a quiet...
Yeah.
Yeah,
Hebrew U Library is old-fashioned. It's also not a university library, meaning it's not principally servicing college kids. They give out ram. Those people would not be able to get used to some change.
Don't ever sit at the top.
I mean, there are people in the Hebrew U library who've been sitting in the same spot every day for the past 40 years.
Down a book in
the, yeah. So, but the idea of a library, Shalpam, you know, like it was a place that had its own dinim. You wouldn't have a conversation there. You wouldn't stop to daven mincha there. There were always arguments about like having a minyan in the library in YU. Right? In other words, like, yeah, guys, it's there. It's 5 minutes in the shkia. Somebody goes around and gathers up a minyan. So could you have the minyan right there in the library? Or did you have to like go downstairs into the lobby? And there were purists that thought you can't have a minyan in a library. It's just, it's pasnished. You don't do it. So Chazal had this idea that... To other people that are studying. So
saying that's why you would say that you shouldn't daven in the Beis Medrash, because now everyone is davening at the same time.
Yes,
so
perhaps
that's
good.
Right.
Yes, perhaps. But nowadays, this is not in effect, because I think the culture has changed of what's a shul and what's a Beis Medrash. But Chazal had this idea that these were very distinct institutions. Aval mochra Torah shel Yisrael. Now the Gemara goes back to the Mishnah. Mochra Torah lo yichus svarim. Now going down the ladder. The top of the pecking order is a Sefer Torah. If you sell a Sefer Torah, you can't buy chumashim with the sale from a Sefer Torah. But the Gemara wants to know, Iboilahu. What does Iboilahu mean?
They inquired of him.
Yeah, what kind of question is this?
What kind of question?
It's an information, but it's not an attack. It's an information. It wants to know what's the halacha. Mahu limchor Sefer Torah yeshan l'kach bo chadash. Can you make a lateral trade? A lateral sale. You sell an old Sefer Torah in order to buy a new Sefer Torah. And as generally we say, Matlin Bekodesh Velo Maridin. You sell a mitzvah object, you have to use it for what's higher up on the ladder. But what's the problem here? We hit the ceiling. There's nowhere to go. So if you sell a Sefer Torah, what do you do with it? So presumably you can make the lateral and buy another Sefer Torah. Kevan de lo malile. Asur. Odilma kevan de leke la aluye. Iule achrina. Shaper dummy. So in other words, is it asur to sell a Sefer Torah and buy a new Sefer Torah since you haven't elevated? Or do we say, how can you elevate it? There's no place else to go. So there. Well, in other words, presumably that's what it would mean. And that's if we hold that you have to go up and you can't even go sideways, so then there's no option to ever sell a Sefer Torah.
Is it the same halachah with the Sefer Torah?
We'll come to that.
Tushma. Can you answer the question that when you're selling a Sefer Torah, it doesn't take away the Kedusha from the actual Sefer Torah?
Say again?
Do we discuss that when you sell a Sefer Torah, the Sefer Torah that you sold is still Kadosh? You haven't removed it.
And Achinami, but the money, when you make the sale, the money now becomes it's true for all these mitzvah objects.
No, we said because of the shul you can material of the shul with something else.
Right. But the Sefer Torah itself has this inherent kedusha. It doesn't stop being a Sefer Torah because
you're just doubling up the kedusha in this case of the Sefer Torah.
Right.
So doubling the kedusha.
Yeah, you just said that.
Yeah.
Toshma. Aval Machru Torah lo yikhu svarim. The Mishnah had said, if you sell a Sefer Torah, you can't buy svarim, what we call either chumashim. Svarim hu delo. In other words, the Mishnah says, if you sell a Sefer Torah, you can't buy svarim. So the Mishnah is explicit. You can't buy svarim. What do you infer?
That
you could buy another Sefer Torah. Ha Torah b'Torah shaper dami. Selling one Sefer Torah to buy another Sefer Torah is proper. Now the Gemara is going to refute this. Masnisin de'avid. The Mishnah is talking b'di'evid. How do you know the Mishnah is talking b'di'evid?
Because it's past tense.
When the Mishnah is phrased in the past tense, machru, right? It doesn't say ein mochrin. It says machru. That indicates we're talking about a case of bidyevid. Shouldn't do it this way, but if you have done it this way. Always, except for the exceptions to the rule. Generally speaking, past tense indicates bidyevid. In the Mishnah, in the Rambam, in other halachic texts that are precise to their language, and present tense indicates l'chatchil. But you're asking about l'chatchila. Toshma, golin sefer Torah b'mitpachot chumashin. Chumashin b'mitpachot nevi'in, v'ktuvim.
You can roll up, you know, with the the bandage, you know, the winding,
the vimple,
a Sefer Torah with the kerchief used for a Navi, and you can wrap up a Sefer Torah with a kerchief used for a chumash. You can wrap up a chumash. What's a chumash? Chumash means it's a scroll, but it's just Sefer Bereshit.
Right?
You can wrap up a chumash with a scroll from Nevi'im Uchtuvim. What's curious here? What are the layers? Torah, Chumash, and Nevi'im Uchtuvim Biyachad.
You would expect Nevi'im to be four
Chumash. You would have thought you can wrap up Nevi'im with Ketuvim. Why?
They're different levels.
Because they're different levels.
Isn't there some place where Ketuvim are at a higher level than Nevi'im?
And in some cases, Ketuvim are at a higher level.
Like in Rosh
Hashanah. Well, in other words, in Rosh Hashanah, when we read the psukim, the 10 psukim of Malchut, Zichronot, and Shofrot, it's 10 psukim from Torah. I'm sorry, 3 psukim from Torah, 3 psukim from Tehillim, 3 psukim, because the ksuvim are all from them, 3 psukim from Navi, and then the final one back to Torah. Right? It's Torah, ksuvim, Nevi'im. Why might that be? Well, and for some purposes, Nach is all on the same level of Kedusha. Mm-hmm. For some purposes, Ksuvim are on a higher level of Kedusha. Higher level of importance. As written texts, they're on the same level. Rav Huttner says this. I tried finding it.
Well, they have a status over the course of the year. We don't really have another. You know, we read each one of the Ketuvim for a specific occasion.
Not everyone. We don't read Daniel. Yeah. Whenever we read Divrei Hayamim.
Okay.
Right. We don't. We don't even read Mishle as part of the ritual.
Okay.
Right? Or Eov, where actually the majority of Ksuvim are not part of the public reading. Tehillim is part of Tefillah.
Right.
Chamesh Megillot. Yes. What else?
Well, the Megillot.
So. There's no other public reading comes from.
I have a side question.
Yeah?
If I'm a shul, and I have a perfectly good Sefer Torah, it's an older Sefer Torah, but firstly, it could be kosher. And what would be my justification to sell it to buy a new one?
Ah, well, because, you know, some Sefer Torah, you know, you're a Balkore. There's a Sefer Svarim that you prefer to read from, and Svarim that are a little harder to read from. It's a kosher Sefer.
Maybe it's a print.
Or you want a bigger one because your eyes are tired.
So if that's the case, then I can understand you saying that you can't sell the Sefer Torah to buy a new one because basically you're disrespecting the Sefer Torah, saying it's not good for you anymore. You're like lessening its Kedusha in a certain way.
As a congregation ages, you want a lighter one to be able to do.
You know what I mean?
You have a Sefer Torah that's kosher, but you keep running into problems with it.
Then that's a Sefer that's already, like, that goes back to my first question. If it's a puzzle Sefer Torah, what can you do?
It's not puzzle. You have a Sefer Torah that's kosher. But it needs as a Sefer ages, it needs maintenance. And, you know, it's like your car. There's always that point of diminishing returns. The first time your car has to go to the shop, you don't sell it.
But again, taking the car now to my car hits that wall where it's not viable for me to keep it anymore, and I'm selling it off for parts. You can't sell Sefer Torah off for parts,
but it's even
in
the market today, Sefer Torah sells for very different prices from one to the other. So there are some that are more valuable than others, and they may be more valuable and therefore more attractive to the
Well, there's all types of reasons you might want to.
The quality of the sofa.
Right, you might have two or three old Sefer Torah that are not worth a lot of. They're kosher, but they're not worth a lot of money, and you don't need it. A lot of shuls have a lot of. We're having a Hanasa Sefer Torah on Yom HaTzmaut. It's nice to have another Sefer Torah, but you know, there are shuls that have a lot of Sefer Torah that they don't need. How many Sefer Torah does a shul really need? I mean, you need one Sefer Torah that's dedicated. But you have one Sefer Torah that's dedicated to be forget Rosh Chodesh Mela. You know, for, you know, each day of Chol HaMoed, right? They'll have a little tag, you know, the Kriya for the third day of Chol HaMoed Pesach, right? So, you don't need it. But, so Shul might say, you know, with these three kind of kosher, but, you know, rather Shvach Sefer Torah, we'll sell them and we'll buy one nice new Sefer Torah. Right? There's all types of reasons you might...
I don't know if we talked about this previously, but the whole idea of the whole Sefer Torah market today and how that ties in with the Gemara. But
well, you know, we should invite our Chaver Mark Lerman to come and give us Sadna. You know, Mark now works as an agent for people who want to buy Sefer Torah, and he's the middleman. But there is a market for Sefer Torah.
I understand. But people are buying and selling Sefer Torah all the time. In terms of how can you, if you can't sell Sefer Torah, what's everyone doing with the money they get from the Sefer Torah they're selling?
That's a mess.
I'm not talking about a sofer.
When you pay a sofer, in other words, look, you hire a sofer to write your Sefer Torah.
Right, I'm not talking about a sofer. I'm talking about, people have a family Sefer Torah, they want to sell it.
Yeah. So it's a kasha.
Right, that would be a problem.
You can sell it, but not for not for profit.
Well, also, what could you use it for?
another Sefer Torah.
Probably some games. You could donate the Sefer Torah to a shul or something, and they could be nice and
give you a tax.
Give you a nice tax benefit or something. You know,
tax free, interest free loan. You know, like,
Wait. So go back a second. So Tashma Golin Sefer Torah b'metpachot chumashin, chumashim b'metpachot nach, aval lo neviim chtuvim b'metpachot chumashim, v'lo chumashim b'metpachot Sefer Torah. Katani mihat Golin Sefer Torah b'metpachot chumashin, metpachot chumashin ein metpachot Sefer Torah. In other words, but it doesn't say anything about not wrapping this Torah with the wrappings of a different Sefer Torah. So presumably that's mutter. So from this we want to infer what? That a lateral move with a Sefer Torah is permitted. Eima Sefer, v'lochu mashim b'metachot Sefer Torah. Ha Torah b'Torah, shapi damer. Ela miha leka l'mishma mine. So we can't, in other words, you can't infer anything from this case. Toshma, manichin sefer Torah al gabe Torah. You can put one sefer Torah on top of another sefer Torah. They didn't always store the sefer Torah the way that we do, standing up. Scroll, in other words, in the libraries of old, in the famous Library of Alexandria, which was all scrolls, the scrolls would be put into either into cubby holes, or they'd just be piled on top of each other. So you can put one Sefer Torah on top of another Sefer Torah. V'Torah al gabi chumashin. And you can put a Sefer Torah on top of a pile of chumashim. Al gabi chumashin al gabi nevim chtuvim. Aval lo nevim chtuvim al gabi chumashin v'lo chumashin al gabi Torah. So this is what we're careful about. You shouldn't put if you have a Tanakh. You shouldn't put Torah Shebal Peh on top of Torah Shebichtav. And you should within Torah Shebichtav. If you have a Chumash and a Navi, you should put the Chumash. And you're stacking up your books, you should put the Chumash on top of the.
What if it's like a balancing issue or.
I don't know.
You can do it for practical reasons, because
presumably
normally don't stack them anyway.
Common sense is the.
Versus what about a siddur on top of?
Common sense doesn't always work with halacha, meaning.
Presumably we're talking about all things.
I can make two stacks. It was really important.
But what is Torah Shabbat? If I have where do you put a Mikros Gedolos? What is Mikros Gedolos? It's a Torah Shabbat Peh.
Yeah.
Right, because it's
you go to the lowest thing that's in it.
Well, no, but in other words, how do you look at it? How do you look at this is
no,
a work of
Torah Shebichtav in it though, so
but you have Torah Shebichtav in the Gemara also.
Well, not complete.
It's a book of Torah Shebichtav that happens to have Perushim that come from Torah Shebal Peh. So I would assume that that's still higher than Gemara, which is Torah Shebal Peh that happens to quote Torah Shebichtav.
Yeah, but
it has Rashi in it.
I don't know.
But the point is that we do have this idea of the pecking order of within the library. We don't normally store our books. We store our books standing up because, but in the days of old, the scrolls were stacked on top of each other. But from this, what do we infer? If you can put a Sefer Torah on top of another Sefer Torah,
you could sell one Sefer Torah by another Sefer Torah.
That a lateral trade is all right. Hanacha kamarta. That's talking about piling them up. Shani hanacha delo efshar. No. You can't learn anything from this case. Why would the Sefer Torah put on top of each other in the Aron like that? Because there was no way to store them otherwise. So when it's not possible, if it's there, not because, right? But in principle, you shouldn't do it. Right? If you had an aron that was big enough, you shouldn't stack the Sefer Torah one on top of the other. From this, we resolve David's question. Right? In other words, if it's not possible to stack up your books like the Leaning Tower of Pisa in a way that they're not all going to fall, and for whatever reason you have to have them in only one pile, so then common sense should dictate. You see? The Gemara is common sense. In principle, it's all things being equal, they shouldn't be stacked on top of each other. Right? So from the case of the piling up the Sefer Torah, you can't learn anything about a lateral trade in terms of sale. Te'ilo te ma'achi, michrach hechi krichen. How could you ever roll a Sefer Torah? Because what do? We roll the Sefer Torah. When you roll the Sefer Torah,
right?
Last, as you roll the Sefer Torah each week, on the right-hand side, last week's parsha is piling them up on top of the other one.
So you're in effect putting part of the Sefer Torah.
You're putting a chumash on a chumash.
Okay.
It's a little far-fetched, I'm just saying. Don't close the book, because you're going to be putting this half of the book on top of the other.
You're making fun. There was a question. Are you allowed to shut off your computer screen if you've got psukima? Allah says you are, but there was a question.
What if you have Shem Hashem on the screen?
I think the answer was you're allowed to, because it's an actual ketav.
Ela kevan delo efshar shari. But since you obviously can't roll a Sefer Torah without rolling one page on top of the other, obviously it's mutter. But these are all cases where...
Because it's also lateral in this case. It's part of one part.
So, achanami kevan delo efshar shari. So also here, since it's not possible, it should be more permitted. Since you can't go up. Since when you sell the Sefer, there's no way to go. Right? So it's parallel to these other cases of where we allow it because there's no other option. There's nothing more kadosh than a Sefer Torah. So you can't go up, so then it should be permitted to buy another Sefer Torah with that money.
But you've been it's far. Sorry, you could never do it.
Yeah. But the Gemara is not open to that idea. Tashma d'omer Rabba Babarchana, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rashbag, Lo Yimkor Adam Sefer Torah Yashan, Lekechbo Chadash. Oh! It's like a ping pong. It keeps bouncing back and forth. You can't sell an old Sefer Torah to buy a new Sefer Torah. Hatam Mishum Pshiyuta. No. When Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel said you can't do it, that's because we're afraid of negligence. What are we afraid of? We're afraid you're going to sell the old Sefer Torah, and then you'll never get around to buying the new one. You'll sell the old Sefer Torah, and then on the way to the new Sofer, you're going to stop in...
the air conditioning system for the show.
Or even worse.
Gamble.
Yeah, I was thinking you were going to stop in at the casino.
I was down the casino.
You were.
Can you sell a Sefer Torah to redeem somebody?
The Gemara will come to that.
Okay.
But good thinking, because Pidyon Shvuim is always a very high value.
I think that would be more...
Kika amrinan, kigon dichtiv, leifruke ma. What about pikuach nefesh? No, that's the question. Did you read ahead?
No.
This is the next line.
Tashma
adom Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Meir ein mochin sefer Torah ela lilmod Torah lisa isha. The only heter for selling a Sefer Torah is to study Torah or to get married. Right? Study Torah, you have to support yourself while you're learning. To get married, to make sure there's good whiskey at the wedding. No. What does it mean to get married? To be able to have the money. No, to have the money. You only need to shove a pruta for kiddushin.
Pay off the father for a daughter.
No, is to support yourself and your wife.
So you could study.
So Shema Mina, Torah B'Torah Shapir Dami. A lateral trade would be good. Why? Because if you can sell a Sefer Torah in order to learn Torah, because the study of Torah is the fulfillment of Torah, so that's the same as Torah B'Torah. So Dilma Shani Limud. No, maybe learning Torah is different. Maybe you can't learn that selling a Sefer Torah to learn Torah would mean that selling a Sefer Torah to buy another Torah would be permitted. Because learning is in its own category. Why? Limud mevila de maase, the famous Gemara in Masechet Kedushin. The Gemara debates this abstract idea: what's better, learning or doing? Limud or maase? All right. In other words, like, what's better to learn the halachos of tefillin or to put on tefillin?
can't do unless you study, and there's no point in studying unless you do.
Right, so that's the kind of conclusion that's like the very Talmudic hair-splitting. But in order of precedence, learning comes first. Sha'alimud mevila de maase. Not just that learning causes you to do the mitzvah properly, right? In other words, if you're unaware of how to do the mitzvah, you until you learn, you can't ever get it right. But learning also leads you to the desire to do the mitzvah, right? As you learn something, you wanna practice it. So isha nami, marrying a woman, is also lo tahu bara lo shevet yatsra. The pasuk in Yeshayahu, that kind of the purpose of creation is to pru revu meluat haaretz. So in other words, I'm not going to get married because the only thing I have is a Sefer Torah. So in other words, selling the Sefer Torah in order to get married and to fulfill your role in creation is a fulfillment of Torah. Aval Torah b'Torah lo, but selling one Sefer for another Sefer, yeah. Tana Rabbanan lo yimkor adam Sefer Torah aval pi sheino tzarich lo. You can't sell a Sefer Torah even if you have no need for it. You've got 30 Sifrei Torah in the Aron. You have a minion that only meets, only meets on Shabbos. You have 30 Sifrei Torah in the Aron. There are shuls like this. They can't muster a weekday minion. Mm. Right? So how many Sifrei Torah do they need? So you can't even sell that. Yeter al kein omer Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, afilu ein lo ma yochel. Even if he's got nothing to eat, umachar sefer Torah o bito, eino roeh siman bracha leolam. Not only that, if you do sell a sefer Torah, or if you sell your daughter into bondage, could you imagine somebody selling their teenage daughter into bondage?
Yes, I mean no.
Depending on how she behaves,
oh yeah.
How much do you think we could get for?
I'm willing to pay you. How much do you want?
Isn't that what a yeshiva open as you pay them to take the kid?
I guess, yeah. I was joking with somebody about when we're talking about Pinyan HaBen. Pinyan HaBen, you say, my boy's tfei. What do you, or the Kohen says to the father, my boy's tfei, what do you prefer? To give me the kid or to pay me 5 sloim? So first of all, it's your newborn, you're a brand new father, right? You know, it's 30 days old, like you can't. So, are you kidding me? I'd pay you $1 million to keep him. If we did a pinyon on Ben when the kid was a teenager, right?
Thank you, Pastor.
I'll pay you. Okay, we'll stop there. Rav Moshe, there's an interesting...
But it doesn't answer the question about if you can sell Sefer Torah to redeem someone. It says it's one thing like...
No.
Chance
of it. All right, we'll come back to it.